Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far.
So far.
Where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually.
I'm just breaking stuff. Ignore me. It's fine. That's right, MC. And we're talking about Darkwing Duck today. And I'm so excited because, listen, Gargoyles was the show I originally wanted to do a podcast about. Number two on the list of TV shows Troy wanted to do a podcast about would probably have been the Batman animated series. And number three would have been Darkwing Duck. So I'm so excited to be here. Darkwing Duck. MC joined the chat today when he joined the Zoom meeting. I was just sitting here singing the Darkwing Duck theme song to myself because yeah, it's so good. Darkwing Duck. Let's get dangerous.
So, talking about that, the opening sequence, you get to see so much, and I can't remember, is all of this in the show? Or is this one of those things where it's not like all of it's from the show, it's just like clips that they've made for the opener?
I believe this is animated specifically for the opening. I think, well, no, because a lot of these shots I'm pretty sure I recognize. I don't know, MC. I don't know. I didn't find that out in my researching. I'm ashamed to admit that. I don't know. I'm looking to see if I can find it. You know what I'm doing right now, MC. Do you know what I'm doing?
What?
I'm Googling that shit. Yeah, Googling that shit. Yeah, Googling that shit.
Just Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that person, Google that place, Google it all, cause there is no place to remember any reason, remember any why. All we do know is that we're gonna die, yeah, I'm gonna die, yeah, you're gonna die, yeah, Troy, you're gonna die, yeah, Google it.
All right, MC, I've done some Googling, and what I can tell you is I don't know. but as I'm rewatching it here, I think I've seen all these. I think all these are from the show. I can tell you that there are five different versions of the theme song because, and this actually gets into what I was going to talk about from behind the scenes stuff. I want to tell you a little bit about the making of Darkwing Duck. So this show is Buck Wild and how it was made. So to kind of jump to the end first, the reason that there are five different versions of the theme song is because this show aired weirdly. It actually ran on both Disney Channel and ABC at the same time. So what happened was they made a whole bunch of episodes and Disney was like, check it out, we're gonna play these on our Disney afternoon. And ABC, who is a Disney like subsidiary, was like, can we have some for Saturday mornings? And they were like, I guess. So ABC got to pick out like 13 episodes or something from the episodes produced and aired those on ABC on Saturday mornings at the same time that the rest of the episodes were airing on Disney Afternoon. But they called that season two, even though it was happening at the same time, but they made a different theme song for the ABC ones. Not a different theme song, just a different like recording of the theme song with like slightly different instruments and a different runtime, because I guess ABC had a different like amount of commercials they aired per episode than Disney Channel did. But that's season two of the show, even though it ran at the same time. And the show premiered in 1991 in September, except for it actually premiered way earlier that year when they aired a random assortment of episodes. They were like, here's some Darkwing Duck world, and the world was like, all right, thank you for this, but what the hell's going on? Because episode one, there's a crime-fighting duck with a little girl. Why does the crime-fighting duck have a little girl? What is going on? And so then later, they aired this episode on Disney Channel, Darkly Dawn's Duck, that we're going to talk about. But the first episode that they premiered in that preview block was called That Sinking Feeling, which is listed as season two, episode one. It's the first episode of this show that ever aired on TV is episode one of season two of this show, because season two actually aired at the same time as season one, but on a different channel, and my brain hurts. And then that was supposed to be it, because that was enough episodes for it to be in syndication. Like the season one block and the season two block was enough for syndication, which is usually all shows like this make, because then they can just print money forever. But ABC was like, we like this show, give us more. And they're like, okay. So then they made a season three that had like 13 more episodes just for ABC. It's a weird production for this show. But you know what's weirder? It's supposed to be like, okay, MC, you're looking here. You see Darkwing Duck. He's a cape crusader. He's the canary or canard of crime. I don't remember all the things he says. Who's he? Who would you say Darkwing Duck is most a spinoff of?
Well, it has Launchpad, so I would say Scrooge.
Not a spinoff of, the character. Who is the character an homage to is perhaps the word I want.
Yeah, it's definitely an homage to, like, Batman, I would say.
This show was originally called 00 Duck and was a James Bond parody.
Oh, weird.
It's a spinoff from an episode of DuckTales called 00 Duck. And they were like, hey, let's make 00 Duck into a cartoon. And they started working on it. And then Cubby Broccoli of the Broccoli family, who runs the James Bond franchise, was like, no, you can't do that. We have a copyright on the words 00. You can't just make a show called 00 Duck. And they were like, ah, shoot, Batman? And then they made it a Batman parody instead of a James Bond parody. But apparently the whole show is filled with James Bond references, including at one point, Darkwing's trying to come up with a new alter ego for himself and suggests calling himself 00 Duck. And Launchpad is like, I don't know, man. That seems a bit silly. Come on, let's be serious about this. I watched another, that Channel Frederator, the same one I watched the 170 facts about Rocket Power. I started their Darkwing Duck video and got a lot of this from them. All right, so a little bit more about the background, just about the guy who made the show. His name is Tad Stones, which is just a cool name. This dude, listen, he graduated college in 1974, and 3 days later, he started working at Disney on their like animation in-house learning track, where they're like, we're going to bring you in and we're just going to teach you everything you need to know about the Disney house style. And this was in 1974. And he worked for them for like 30 years after that, which just makes me happy that's like a cool enough place to work that he was like, no, I'm just going to chill here. He worked on Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. He worked on Gummy Bears. He worked, I believe, on Fox and the Hound, I read. And then he made Darkwing Duck. He also was a producer on Aladdin, on Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. When he left Disney, he worked on some Hellboy projects, which makes me very happy because I'm like, he's a nerd. Like, it just makes me happy that the guy who made Darkwing Duck is a comic books nerd. Like, that makes the show feel much more genuine to me. And then he, while he was still at Disney, I skipped this, sorry, he directed and produced both sequels to Aladdin. The first one, which is fine, and then the third Aladdin movie, which is the King of Thieves, which I love. I think I like that. Like, that might be my favorite Aladdin movie.
Well, we also get introduced to Aladdin's dad in that one. So I really enjoy that. Like, you get to discover, like, where his dad's been this whole time, and you realize he's kind of a dirtbag.
And you get the Hand of Midas and the big sea turtle with a city on its back. That movie kicks ass. If we ever have a Patreon where we're going to do movies, we can do Akira will be our first movie, and our second movie will be Aladdin King of Thieves, because I love that movie.
There we go.
The last thing I have about the background for today is that, as you mentioned before, Launchpad is in this. Now, we've talked about Launchpad McQuack because we've already reviewed DuckTales.
Yeah.
And Launchpad McQuack is in DuckTales as a pilot. And Launchpad McQuack isn't Darkwing Duck as a pilot. Now, I know what you're thinking, MC. Exactly how does the continuity line up between Darkwing Duck and DuckTales?
Yes. Well,
I'm sad to say that it doesn't.
Oh.
The guy who made the show is like, yeah, we've got Launchpad in it, but it's not the same. It's a different universe. It's an alternate timeline.
Oh, weird.
It kind of bums me out. I wish it was part of an expanded Duck universe, but nope, it's separate. Womp womp.
I mean, having that internalized Duck universe would be really cool.
Yeah, I think they're actually doing that with the new DuckTales cartoon. I think they building that one more like a unified universe, because I think I don't think Darkwing's been on it yet, but I think that they've like brought in characters who weren't part of DuckTales originally to expand it out. But we'll find out when we watch DuckTales, the new one. But that's not what we're here to talk about today, MC, because here today we are here to talk about, my notes say it's Darwing Duck. I missed a K. We're here to talk about Darkwing Duck, Season 1, Episode 1, Darkly Dons the Duck, Part 1, right after these messages.
Are you a fan of high fantasy epic book series that are converted into television series? No, not that one. I mean an epic book series that is actually complete. I'm referring to The Wheel of Time, Robert Jordan's fantasy masterpiece that was completed posthumously by Brandon Sanderson. Well, I have the perfect podcast for you. The Taveren is a Wheel of Time podcast where three gentlemen go through the series one chapter at a time, in their own special way. Follow along as Bill, Rob, and Rich re-experience this great epic. Experience for yourself a world full of vibrant locations, colorful characters, and storylines that will never fail to surprise. Visit a world that Game of Thrones can only wish was as fleshed out and complete. The Taveren, a Wheel of Time podcast, is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably network of podcasts. Find our podcast wherever you get your podcast feed, or visit probablywork.com for episodes of this podcast and other great shows. We will see you at the Winespring Inn.
He's still and we're back.
Oh gosh, I spoke over you. Yes, yeah. My child is here. He's still asleep. MC, it's not a 3 a.m. recording. It's a whole 4:30 a.m. right now. I'm so excited. Yeah. Now, I have been up since 3:30 a.m., so it's not that exciting. But anyway, here we are, here to talk about Darkly Dons the Duck, Part 1, which was the like 14th episode aired, but it was the first episode aired when the season actually started airing. Ow, my head. Ow, my head.
Trying to think about the whole timelines between.
Yeah, it's just it's strange. I mean, like, so there. Okay, there's this episode called Just Us Justice Ducks. Like Just Us Justice Ducks, that okay. is about like a team up between a bunch of goodies and a bunch of baddies. There's like five good characters and five bad characters, and it's like the Justice League versus the whatever the bad guys are called. I can't think what are the bad guys called?
Something of Doom.
Council
League of Doom? Doom. League of Doom,
is that it? No, it's not, because it's Justice League.
It's not Council League of Doom. Doom.
It's not Council of Doom. What the hell is it called?
I can't remember. Something of Doom.
Anyway, it's that, but like some of the characters that are in Just Us Justice Ducks haven't had their introduction episodes aired by the time the episode where they team up airs. So it's kind of like when Justice League was like, what if we did a Justice League movie and then after that we'll do an Aquaman movie? And it's like, no, y'all, you did it bad and backwards and wrong. Shame on you. So Darkwing Duck is a crime fighter, and he starts off by being like, check it out, here's a bunch of bad guys that I tied up, and I'm gonna pitch them into the front door of the police station, and my job's done, no need to thank me.
Yep. He is all about that fame, though, it seems.
Super about that fame. He's telling the cop, like, how to... I love... It's like, that's Darkwing Duck. Two words, both D's capitalized. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You gotta make sure, you know? Branding's important for a superhero.
There's... The bit at the beginning... where he has his whole spiel about everything, and it's just like, okay, are you gonna get to the point yet? And
is this
it's
when
like
Are you talking about the like opening monologue about like the city cloaked in crime and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I love about it is like when you read a Batman comic, you read like Batman's inner thoughts going like, the city is a scum pit full of refuse and burdens on the world that I need to clean up because there's no janitor here and I'm the janitor of crime. And you read it all and you're like, all right, that's Batman's like internal monologue. What I love about Darkwing Duck is Darkwing Duck doesn't understand that. And he thinks that that's Batman talking out loud. And so that's what he does, is he talks out loud because he's just Darkwing Duck. He's like, St. Canard, a city of crime and evil that I must clean up. And it's like, you're not supposed to say that out loud, Darkwing.
Yes. And it's like a good couple of minutes of that right at the beginning. And then it gets to the city and it's like dead empty. Mm. Although there is like a picture of a goose that caught my attention. I'm not sure why.
I did not notice a goose.
It was like painted on a building or something. I was just like, why is there?
There's a lot of weird background stuff. There's definitely like a like softcore pinup in the background of Launchpad's hangar when we get there. And I was like, oh, hey, half naked duck lady, what you doing hanging out back there?
Kind of weird.
It is a little bit weird. What was I going to say? I thought of something. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, he's got a cool motorcycle, and he rides it up a bridge into a secret lair at the top of the bridge on the outskirts of town, which is a dope-ass place to have a secret lair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also because the bridge is, like, probably attached to main motorways. Mm-hmm. Quick to get on the road and stuff.
Yeah, it lets him, like, keep an eye on everything that's going on. I think it's a smart place for him to have his hideout.
Yeah, and in his hideout, he has, like, things set up on, like, automation, and he goes around and he makes breakfast, and it's like, the breakfast is trying to attack him.
Well, he says this is, like, part of how he keeps on his toes, right?
Yeah.
He's training constantly, like, to make sure he's always perfectly ready to fight crime, including by having his breakfast try to attack him. It's like a Rube Goldberg machine of breakfast launching, like, it shoots eggs at him, it shoots his cereal, and he's got to like run around the kitchen with a bowl to catch all the cereal and the eggs. He like holds up a frying pan, which means the shells crack straight in the eggs, and that means he's gonna have eggshells in his food. But also, MC, he's a duck and he's eating eggs, and that's, I guess, not any more weird than like humans eating animal flesh, but it seems strange for a duck to eat chicken eggs. I'm not sure how to feel about that. Is that weird, or is it just
weird? No, it's kind of weird.
But he catches everything. He does such a good job, and he's like, balanced breakfast, everything a duck needs except the milk. And then MC, the way that like he has his milk get prepared for him in this obstacle course is just that it shoots the whole fridge at him. That's a bad plan. I don't care how good you are at your crime-fighting obstacle course. You can't shoot a fridge at yourself.
No, that can't be good for you. He's all dizzy and he pours his milk into his cereal, but he's fine.
Awful.
And then after breakfast, he goes to bed during the day. And his bedroom seems to be just full of light. I don't think I could sleep in that.
Really? The light in the room bothers you?
Yeah.
It used to bother me. I actually wore a sleep mask for a while when I was like working evenings. But as long as I'm not trying to like actually sleep through the day, it usually doesn't bother me too much. Usually. Although right now, what the hell am I talking about? I wake up at like 4 in the morning. Yesterday, MC, I got up with my kid, and he was super fussy. And we're staying at my parents' place right now, so my mom and my dad are both here, so that we have backup with the child during quarantine. And my mom woke up because the kid was so loud, and she's like, I'm not sleeping. You can go back to bed. I'll keep an eye on him. And I was like, all right, cool. And so normally I wake up at like, if he sleeps in, like if he sleeps well, he and I get up at like 4:30. Like that's the latest he's willing to sleep. And usually it's like 3:30. And maybe I'll snooze for an hour on the couch after that. She got up and took care of him, and I went back to bed, and I slept till like 8:30. And then I woke up and was like, who's that? What time is it? What's going on? What day is it? Who am I? It was weird. I was so confused. I was like, you have two settings. You have either like zero sleep and you're fine, or you sleep way too long and you're so confused.
Well, I took a nap this afternoon because I did not sleep well last night for some reason. Mm. And I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I don't have a baby, so I have no excuse. So you have
no reason.
Yeah. But that happens to me regularly, where I fall asleep at 12 and then wake up at 4, and I'm like, I guess I'm up now.
Yeah. It's not enough sleep. We're here to talk about Darkwing Duck, Season 1, Episode 1, Darkly Dons the Duck, Part 1. I forgot to talk about it. He goes to sleep. Is this where we get our first introduction to the baddie of the episode?
Yeah,
his name, yeah. I'm struggling to remember.
Taurus or something?
Taurus Bulba. Thank you.
There we go.
As soon as you said Taurus, I was like, that's right. So Taurus Bulba is like a criminal mastermind hanging out in his criminal mastermind lair. And at this point, you just think it's a criminal mastermind lair. We'll find out more later. But he's like screaming at his goons because he has like, he wants to get this thing called a ramrod. We don't really know what it is at this point, I think. I don't think we actually find out in episode one. I remember because I've seen this before. But in episode one, I don't think we ever find out, right? What the ramrod does?
I don't. No, not in episode one. It's in episode two when we find out what it does.
Okay. So he's like laying into his goons. So Taurus Bulba is a bull, as you probably guessed. He's got goons that are like a goat man and a condor man. Well, no, just a condor and a couple other guys. But the goat man's kind of the main one. And he's like, what?
It's a vulture, not a condor.
You are right. Why did I call it a condor?
I don't know. But all his henchmen are like different things. He's a bull.
Mm.
There's ducks and dogs. Other than that we've seen.
And there's his like secretary lady, who's like, I don't know what she is. Is she a dog? Maybe, I don't know.
I thought she was a dog.
Maybe she is a dog. Anyway, he's chewing him out. He says, don't come back without the ramrod. And then he pushes a button and they like fall through a trap door, and then a wall slides open and like the couch goes behind it. And then his secretary lady takes his suit jacket and she goes down a descending elevator, and everything happens to turn his hideout into a jail cell, because Taurus Bulba is in jail, but has like converted his jail cell into a super awesome little hideout thing, and then he turns it back into a regular jail cell just in time for the warden to come by and be like, ah, Taurus Bulba, you damn some bitch, we done caught you and put you in a jail cell, now you're gonna live here forever. I just watched Live and Let Die, which has JW the sheriff in New Orleans, and so now this here's how I think all policemen should be talking all the time right now. Chew it, because he spits tobacco all the time. JW, I can't remember what JW's last name is. He's in a couple of the Bond movies. Go listen to Podcasters Assemble to hear my thoughts on JW. Hey, MC, it's a train heist.
Yep, it's a train heist.
There's three goons coming in the bottom of the train by hooking a grappling hook to it, which seems like an off way to get into a train. And meanwhile, the vulture is flying towards the train, which is how Darkwing finds out about the plot, because he's like, that bird is carrying a big old case. That seems like a weird thing for a bird to have.
Can we just talk about how this goat guy breaks into the door?
Does he headbutt it with his goat head?
No, he hooks his horns underneath the bar and just yanks the bar out.
Oh, God. I'm playing it back as we're talking, and that happened right as you said it. And just, that seems so painful. Like, imagine if you had horns on your head and then hooking them. I guess, I mean, that's like us hooking our fingers under something and pulling on it, but I don't know. It seems awful. So they take the guards out on the train, and then They drop the box that the bird was carrying on top of it. And Taurus Bulba's watching because the bird has a little camera, video phone thing on his neck. And he's like, get on with it. We got to steal that train car because it's got the stuff in it. And the box on the top, it turns out, makes wings.
And a rocket.
Mm-hmm. Darkwing, meanwhile, catches up on his motorcycle and starts heading through the train car. And is like, hey, I'm just taking care of some crime on the train. And he sees the goons and he's like, oh, man. Those guys work for Taurus Bulba. Taurus Bulba is such a big deal. I'm going to be so famous if I catch him doing crimes, even though he's in jail.
Yeah, and then he proceeds to ruin the plan. And doesn't the mailman take a photo? Which I didn't get. Or the guy on the train the mail room.
Right, because there's a mail room on the train? I guess it's a mail train. Anyway, yeah, he takes a photo that later gets mistaken and people think that Darkwing is part of the train heist. Oh, no.
Yeah. And, of course, they detach one of the carriage from either end and it takes off flying because of the device that the vulture carried and dropped on there. And Darkwing's hanging on with a grappling hook.
Right.
Flying through the sky.
Yep. And all sorts of the normal flying shenanigans that you would expect happen, including him flying through a barn and a clothesline, and he comes off the clothesline with a bra on his face and goes and throws the bra away and then looks straight at the camera and makes a Hong Kong gesture with his hands because there is a boob joke in episode one of Darkwing Duck, as we say in our original trailer for this show.
There is. But I didn't think it was that point.
Yeah, it's right here. It's while he's getting drugged behind the ship on his grappling hook line. Which, can we talk about how cool Darkwing Duck's grappling hook is? That might be the coolest grappling hook. Listen, Batman, I'm so glad that you have grappling hooks and things. I just reinstalled MC Arkham City. I actually had Arkham Asylum installed for a while and never got around to playing it again. And yesterday I was like, you know what? I don't want to play Arkham Asylum again. I want to play Arkham City again. So I uninstalled Arkham Asylum and installed Arkham City. And that's just might be what I do when we finish recording is I might go start grappling hooking around the city as Batman. But his grappling hook, not as cool as Darkwing Duck's. I wonder if I can find a mod that would give Batman Darkwing Duck.
Well, I mean, Batman's is kind of black, even if it does have a bat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just flat black. So it's kind of boring.
Batman's pretty good at branding, but Darkwing Duck, I think, is better.
Yeah, at least. He falls off of the vulture, like, clips the line or something, and he falls down into an airplane hangar. And this is where we get Launchpad McQuack joining the show.
Launchpad McQuack, who it turns out is a Darkwing Duck super fan, and he's like, I've got a scrapbook with newspaper clippings of all your adventures. And he's like, well, it's not a very big scrapbook though, because Darkwing Duck doesn't have many adventures yet. And all he wants, poor, sweet, adorable Launchpad McQuack, all he wants is to be Darkwing's sidekick. It's all he wants in the world.
Yep. Meanwhile, the bad guys are flying away. And Darkwing's like, I need a pilot. And Launchpad's like, let me be your sidekick, and I'll fly you after the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, Darkwing's like, check out this cool biplane you've got. And Launchpad's like, yeah, but in the other hangar, I've got a way better plane. And Darkwing's like, nope, no time. So take me in this. And he's like, but there's this other thing. And he's like, we're going to fly this. And he's like, it looks like your face. It's a jet that looks like your face that's going to become a staple of the series. And Darkwing's like, nope, got to take a biplane. And Launchpad's like, all right, fine, we'll take a biplane.
Oh, the biplane bit is where the bra bit happens.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
You might be right.
But anyway, that joke is in this episode anyway. During the flying thing, they start getting chased by the vulture and Launchpad starts taking drastic measures and Darkwing flies out of the airplane and then gets caught back onto it and There's a whole sequence which ends up with them crashing into a telephone pole.
Mm-hmm. Because Launchpad McClack can crash anything that flies.
And then Launchpad's begging Darkwing to let him continue being his sidekick even after the disaster. And then we get the bad guys in jail, and the obvious big bad machine is in the room, and he's walking the laundry in.
It's like a 30-foot tall machine behind a clothes rack.
Yeah. And he's like reeling the laundry in, and the warden walks in and they have a conversation, and the warden just completely ignores the giant machine that's 30 feet tall.
You say they have a conversation. What they actually have is the warden throwing some shade at Taurus Bulba, because he's like, "Ah, you're doing laundry, some real honest work. That must be really strange for you. Maybe we'll let you out on good behavior in 99 years. I didn't like the warden very much. Like, I understand that Taurus Bulba is not a good character. He's a bad dude, but I feel like the warden is kind of a jerk.
Yeah, and they're like, "We got to get this code. You got to find that granddaughter of that scientist who designed and invented this machine. So go find her. She's at this orphanage." And the goat guy essentially walks up to the orphanage claiming to be an old friend of her grandfather, and is weeping towards essentially it looks like the sister of the DuckTales nanny.
Right. It's kind of the same general design.
Big chicken lady.
Is she a chicken? I guess she probably is a chicken. But she's like, "Well, Gosling, like, I guess if you like really you know this girl and you really want to meet her, I guess she's right outside. She should be here." And then she gets hit in the face with a hockey puck.
Yep. And then Gosling comes flying in on her skates through the window and smacks the puck back out and scores a goal.
Which I love, because she's like, "Play it where it lays."
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
And essentially, the orphanage lady is like, "Oh, you want to talk with Gosling? Here you go. There she is. Just go. Leave me alone." She's full of spirit. It's a thing.
She tells them, like, well, first, so Gosling, when the lady brings Gosling in, Gosling's like, "I don't know anything about a pig, and I wasn't anywhere near the boys' bathroom." Like, "I don't care. Just get out of here. Take this child outside. Just don't leave the grounds." And then she calls like the janitor or whatever and is like, "Can you go check the boys' bathroom for a pig, please?" Because apparently Gosling put a pig in the boys' bathroom.
Yeah.
I love Gosling. But so then the goat man's like, "Anyway, I'm kidnapping you."
Yeah. He's like, "Let's talk about your grandfather." She says a whole very sad story about her life and how she's ended up in this orphanage.
Yeah. And did we clarify the reason they want the granddaughter is because apparently before her grandpa died, she basically lived in his lab. So
yeah.
Taurus Bulba thinks that even if, like, even though she was a little kid at the time, she probably, like, subconsciously knows where or what the launch codes are for the Ramrod. Okay. Just want to be sure we mention that.
Yeah, but Gosling is going to get kidnapped by these three goons, essentially. And she starts smacking them with her skates, and then Darkwing comes out of nowhere and saves her. And she starts beating up Darkwing Duck, thinking that he's part of the kidnap crew. And Launchpads comes across him on his bicycle and starts following them. And the police get involved and start shooting at everyone.
Yep, they go on a whole chase scene through the city, with Launchpad being like, "Come on, I just want to catch up. Please let me be your sidekick, please." Yeah. And they they end up going down. I don't know how. Okay, I'm not sure if Darkwing was like confused, but he ends up going off a dock, and poor old whatchamacallit, what's his name, Launchpad, like, "Don't do it. Yeah. It's that's a dead end. It's a, you're gonna fall in the water." And they do. They crash into the water.
Yeah, except then Launchpad's in the ocean and he's all soaking wet and he's like, "Oh no, Darkwing." And Darkwing and Goslin are fine because they're all of a sudden they're in the secret hideout.
Mm-hmm. There's a, turns out, an underwater entrance into the secret hideout. And Darkwing's like, "All right, cool. Glad I rescued you. Now get the heck out of my secret hideout." And Goslin's like, sure. "I'm going to head right out. Just get out of here. Get out of your hair. I'm probably going to tell everybody where your secret hideout is, though." So
he's like, "You better stay around and I better take care of you so Taurus doesn't get his hands on you." So,
yeah. I like Goslin has a line here where she's like, "This is just like the comic books. I bet like you and Taurus Bulber are like lifelong arch enemies." And Darkwing's like, well, he probably actually doesn't know who I am.
Yeah. Wow. And then we get a scene where they're in jail again and the goat man literally gets picked up off the ground by his boss, by the muzzle. And it's like, you guys have messed up. I'm going to have to break out of here, essentially, to make sure you guys don't mess up anymore.
He says it's time for him to say goodbye to the dear old warden.
Yeah.
And with that, the whole jail cell, just like the whole thing, turns into a big old ship.
It just pops out of the jail, and the warden's just like, falls over and like a whole thing happens. It's ridiculous. Can we talk about how the ship that they take off in the jail with looks exactly like a bullhead?
Exactly. I mean, that's this show. All the characters in this show are here for the branding, you know? That's something that they just make sure that they hit every single chance that they can. And I think that's it, right? He flies out and says, like, "All right, goodbye, Warden. Peace out. We're on our way because it's time for me to meet this Darkwing Duck."
Yeah, and it says to be continued, which is
dun, 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 dun.
What's going to also happen here, because we'll talk about what happens next time. Because episode 2 is part 2 of this.
That would have been a great ending, but we have to do best and worst still.
Yeah, we still do.
That was so close to a good ending, MC. Best and worst. It's time for the best and worst, and the worst goes first with MC.
Worst thing. I think the warden's the worst thing in this episode. He's kind of one-toned character. Wasn't very likable, even though he's essentially jailing the bad guy, and we feel bad for the bad guy because he's such a jerk,
and we should be like, feeling that. That is a weird way to go. Like, you make the warden so unlikable that the villain like almost becomes likable. And I think as a little kid, so I'll just say, he's my worst thing too. That was actually what I had down, is the warden.
Yeah.
I think as a little kid, I would have been like, "Yeah, haha, you get him, you tell him." But watching it now, I'm like, "Hey man, lay off. Like, he's in here doing his time. Give him a break." And I don't, maybe that's, my child's waking up. Maybe that's partially like being older and looking at it. It might also be because I'm like, I'm watching right now, season of Arrow, where Oliver Queen's in jail and like people are giving him shit, and I'm like, "Hey, back off, just be nice." Hang on,
Troy has to get his child. But I completely agree. Like, the warden is supposed to be there to, like, keep the prisoners in line, sure, but he didn't have to be a jerk about it. But then again, if that's the worst thing for the both of us, that's probably the worst thing in that episode. But there's so many good things. I don't think I can pick a best thing. I already have the best thing for the next episode, because I have watched it, which is, oh, actually, how about, you brought up the best thing from the next episode, I'm pretty sure in this episode, but, the best thing for this episode, maybe the bull, ship that we get to see right at the very end, like,
okay,
having, like, the, Taurus Bull was, ship be essentially his head.
Yeah.
Atticus is up.
He is up. Yeah. He woke right up. He was screaming and did not want to be soothed. He's like, I want to get up and talk about Darkwing Duck.
So what's your best?
My best thing from this is, it's tough because it's like more the best. This is the best thing because of the promise to come later. But it's both Launchpad and Goslin. Like, I love Darkwing Duck, and Darkwing Duck enters this episode like almost fully formed. Like, he is the character we will meet, except for he doesn't have those relationships that become an important part of his character. And seeing, yeah, Goslin and Launchpad in this right away just like fills me with warm fuzzies about like the character he will become and what this show will become when they all become like this adorable little family unit.
Yeah, it's really fun to witness like the beginnings of that. I think as well, like,
if I had to make it specific and without like context of what's coming later, it would be Goslin. Like, Goslin's like,
yeah,
spunky attitude and like playing hockey and how excited she is about comics and stuff. They the guy who made the show, are you wanting to get to the microphone? He's like staring at the microphone. The guy who made the show had a 2-year-old daughter at the time that he was making Darkwing Duck, and he said he based Goslin on what he assumed his daughter was going to be like when she was 10 years old. And I just think that's adorable.
That is adorable.
She was also a main part of coming up with a show, because part of the inspiration for the show, I guess, was like, what if Batman had a little kid who just like refused to not participate in the crime fighting, which then ended up being like a main thing with Damian Wayne. Like, that's kind of what Damian Wayne's character is, but this I believe preceded at least that version of Damian Wayne. I don't know, I might be wrong about that. Did you know this precedes the Batman animated series? This came out a year before Batman the animated series. I like 100% assumed that this was like a parody specifically after, yeah, that show, yeah, but it came first. It's weird. Anyway, I think with that, MC, we will do our To Be Continued, because we will continue talking about Darkly Dawns the Duck Part 2 in our next episode of Best Animated Shows Ever so far. Until then, I'm going to go try and take care of my child, because he is so awake right now. It's 5 o'clock.
Oh my God.
Why are you so awake?
He's whipping his head around. Like,
he's like, what are we doing? Why are we sitting down here?
Yeah, no, he is looking all around the place like, where are we? What are we doing here?
Do you want to record a podcast? Yeah?
He just full on grabbed the pop mic. the pop filter.
He's grabbing onto my microphone shroud. Like, what does this do? say the thing, MC. Oh, God, he's got a good grip on it. This is a bad situation. Okay, he let go. Whew.
Until next time, stay tuned.
Did we do stay tuned or don't change the channel? Let's stay
tuned,
right?
Don't change the channel. It's don't change the channel, actually.
Is it? I think it's don't change the channel, because I think TuneIn Pod, which is a much better...
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows
ever. Yeah, I'll say
ever.
Better. And so also far. Different kind of animated
show
discussion.
Find the
show
on Twitter at BaseSFcast.
I think there's a stay tuned.
Or email us at
BaseSFcast@gmail.com.
That's B-A-S-E-S-F-C-A-S-T.
I think we've done both. Anyway, goodbye.
Bye.
Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's BaseSFcast. The emails at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search basesfcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was gonna say but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos anyway. Cast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean.